book of Ruth here tonight. I got all the way down almost to the end of the chapter and had to stop. So if the Lord will help us, I'm going to try to finish up here. Ruth chapter number 2, starting at verse number 18. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, amen, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Praise God. And her mother-in-law said to her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, this man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is of near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Here that word kinsman is brought up. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, amen, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that thou meet and that they meet thee not in any other field. Verse 23, and I'll end my reading, but we're going to go into verse 3, hopefully, for I'm done, chapter 3, for I'm done tonight. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean into the end of barley harvest, and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. The Lord help us. I'm just going to get into this. Amen. Ruth got up this day like many other days hungry, like many other days in need, amen, of some help. But aren't you just amazed at how much change can happen in just one day?
That's the truth.
Amen. I thought about how Moses began one day as a shepherd. Praise God. But he ended that day as a prophet of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Moses, go down there. Think of that. Praise God. He had been keeping them sheep for all those years on the backside of that desert. And God spoke to him and said, Moses, get up and go speak to Pharaoh. Praise God. Moses went from a shepherd to a prophet all in a matter of one day. Hallelujah. Joseph started out a day one time as a prisoner. But by the time, amen, that day had ended, he ended it sitting in the palace. Praise God. Amen. Oh, the power of just one day. Amen. David went out one day. Picture this, if this is not a great story. David went out as a poor little shepherd boy carrying some provisions out to the battlefield for his brother one morning. His father said, David, carry some things down here to your brother. They're out in battle, out in war. They didn't have a system like we have today. Amen. Families had to send food to feed the troops. Praise God. And so David went down there, just a little poor shepherd boy, to take some food down to his brothers.
Yeah.
But by the time the sun set that day, he was a national hero. Amen. They got the power of just one day.
Yeah.
Amen. He was a national hero because he had defeated the giant Goliath. Amen. Ah, the power of just one day. One day, Peter loaned his boat out to a man by the name of Jesus. Amen. And by the time the sun set that day, Peter done sold everything that he had and said, I'll follow this man. Hallelujah. Ah, the change that can happen in just one day.
Yes.
Amen. Today, right now, can make a difference. I believe in everybody's life right here tonight. People that are lackadaisical, people that never make their mind up to follow the Lord wholly. Amen. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, follow him with all of your heart, with all of your mind. You can make your mind up today. Praise God. Amen. For Ruth, her day in hunger started this day in hunger, rather. Amen. But thank God, by the time the sun sets, like I said, I don't really probably going to be able to get to the climax right here. Amen. But she goes out, and I got to it the other night, how that Boaz and commanded his servants to leave her not only just the gleaning part, but to lean her handfuls on purpose. Praise God. He said, leave some sheaves there all by themselves. Leave them there on purpose. Praise God. To give to this woman. Amen. Ruth. Oh, the difference that just a day can make. Ruth had been working all day here in her text tonight. Amen. But she obtains enough food for many days instead of just one day of provision. Amen. She comes home with all this food, and Ruth asks her, "Where in the world did you go today?" Hallelujah. And I want you to notice the script begins to flip. Amen. Right here in this text tonight. Amen. You got to remember, up until this point, amen, Naomi had been bitter. She had an empty home. She had an empty heart. Amen. Everything had turned sour on her. She lost everything down in Moab. She was bitter. Call me not Myra. Amen. Naomi, but call me Myra, because I'm bitter. Yeah. Amen. But notice right here, praise God. Naomi sees Ruth coming in the door, carrying almost all that Ruth can carry. Barely been able to bring all she can bring home. And Naomi says, I can just see her, Brother Tommy, her eyes light up. Amen. Finally, a smile comes on Naomi's face. And she says, where in the world have you been today? Praise God. Amen. And Ruth said, I've been down at Boaz's field. And notice this. Amen. This is the first time Naomi speaks like this in this book. And she says, blessed be that man. Hallelujah. It's no longer sorrowful. It's no longer, amen, being depressed. It's no longer, amen, drudgery. But she said, blessed be this man of the Lord. Hallelujah. Great God, a new word comes into her vocabulary. Amen. She realizes one more time about the grace of God. Hallelujah. I come to tell us, even in the midst of the hardest of trials in life, God knows how to turn it around and show us his grace again. She says, blessed be this man. Amen. Hallelujah. Naomi sees the provision of food and of the word blessed flows from her lips. The name of the Lord is also upon her lips, for she recognizes the source of blessing. Naomi has been knocked down spiritually. She'd been knocked down emotionally. She had even been knocked down physically. Yeah. But she is getting back up. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God's got a way of picking a man back up. Hey, I'm so glad God has a way of picking a woman back up. Hey, God, you might be down. You might be on the bottom. But God said, hold on. Yeah. You're going to be blessed again. Hey, amen. Hold on just a little while. That blessing is going to come down that dusty road. And it's going to come from a place that you could never imagine. Here you got Ruth, who was a Moabite. She really had no place, even being around nobody, amen, of the Israelites. She was an outcast. She was a stranger. But thank God, God turned it around. And he begins to bless in the impossible way. Amen. Hey God, Naomi sees everything in front of her eyes. Hey God, have you been discouraged? Have you ever been bitter? Come on. Amen. Great God, do you look at your past saying, look at what a wreck I've made of things. Look at how much I messed up. My life is falling apart. What's the use? What's the use to keep on trying? What's the use of picking my feet up and trying it again day after day? I tell you, the best thing to do is just turn it over to him, because he knows how, amen, to bless us again.
Yes, Lord.
Not only did this word bless come up, but secondly, the second change that takes place in this section, great God, is that Naomi is no longer bitter, but there's a spring of hope coming up here.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Great God, let me tell you, hope can do something for a man. Back when Haiti got hit by that earthquake, I forget, it wasn't all that long ago, a few years ago, I'd heard the testimony of an elderly lady. I forget, she was way up in age. I forget, about 80 years plus. Amen, Brother Earl. And that Haitian woman was in that building, and it crumbled in on her when that earthquake hit. And they tried for days, and they could not get all the rubble off, and they rescued some here and rescued some there. Amen. And finally, 9 days later, You think about that, being under rubble for 9 days. I would have died from anxiety. Amen. I tell you, Brother Chuck, amen, 9 days later they get to this woman and they rescue her alive. Amen. And she made it. It was a great story. But they interviewed this old lady and they said, ma'am, tell us, we're all intrigued. Amen. That a strong man could make it for 9 days in rubble. But here you are way up in age. You're weak already. How did you make it? I'll never forget what she said. I don't have the article. Amen. I just remember the words of that woman. That woman said this. She said, oh, I could hear the machines lifting up the rubble. I could hear the joy, amen, of how they rescued someone. And she said, every day I had hope in my heart that it would be my day. And then I woke up the next day and I said, hey, maybe this is the day they're going to rescue me from this rubble. And she said, every day I kept hope that it was going to be my day. And finally it was her day. Hey, I come to tell us, Naomi had hope. She had been at midnight in Moab. She had been to the top, and she'd been to the bottom. But oh, when she got to the bottom, she said, one day will be my day. One day I'm coming up out of here. Amen. Woo! And there's hope again in the heart of Naomi. Hey, God. And she says this. Oh, this work comes up right here. She said, Ruth, you don't understand. You better stay in that field because Boaz is a kinsman.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah. 13 times the word kinsman is referred to in this book. Amen. The Hebrew word for kinsman is goel. G-O-E-L, which means redeemer. Hallelujah. A kinsman might have been a brother, an uncle, or a cousin. Thank God. But in one way or another, really what it meant was they were the redeemer. Hallelujah. What did a kinsman redeemer mean in the Bible days? Well, according to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 25 and verse number 25, he could redeem a person, or he could even redeem a person's property. Hey God, if the property was not redeemed, it would be returned again in the year of Jubilee. Amen. Secondly, he was to marry the widow of a kinsman and maintain the inheritance until the children were old enough to receive that inheritance. Deuteronomy 25 verses 5 through 10 will explain to you that. Hey God, but thirdly, amen, that kinsman redeemer was one that was willing, amen, to step in to an absolute impossible situation such as Ruth and make something out of nothing, which is exactly what Jesus did for you and me.
Woo!
Aren't you glad he's our redeemer?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that in the Old Testament it was called atonement? Amen. The priest would go out and sacrifice an animal and offer up blood as an atonement of man's sin. What all that meant was it was a covering for the sin of man. But thank God, when Jesus came on the scene, it was no longer an atonement. It was no longer a covering. But then it was called a redeemer. What did he do? He didn't come to cover it up, but he come to redeem us. He abolished sin. He done away with it, never to be remembered again. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've got a kinsman redeemer. I'm glad that he thought that much to come down to where I was. I was poor. I was naked. I couldn't feed myself, but he redeemed me, and he done away with my sin.
Lord.
I feel like shouting.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Woo! Boaz, amen, was Ruth's redeemer. Boaz and Naomi, they both recommended to Ruth that she gleaned not in anybody else's fields.
Right.
Amen. Naomi said, I tell you what you better do, Ruth. When she come in carrying all that barley and all that grain, she said, you better stay right where you are. Hallelujah. Woo! That's where a lot of Christians mess up at. When they find the barley and they find that Redeemer, amen, they get their eyes off somewhere else and get drug off on other people's places and other fields where they should not be. Amen. But Boaz told her, and she come home, and Naomi told her the same thing. Amen. You better stay right here. Hallelujah. It's not safe for you to be anywhere else. You better stay right here.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. It was dangerous. It was a dangerous time in the days of the judges. It was not uncommon for women to be abused. Ruth was to continue working under Boaz and under the care of his young men. The barley harvest was during the last of March or at the beginning of April, depending upon the elevation, amen, and the location of those fields. The lower valleys were ripened first. And the barley harvest was first because it ripened quickly. Barley was the grain of the poor. Barley was used to feed the animals. Wheat was harvested later in May and in June. Harvest time was a happy time of year. The owners would get out in the fields, and even the owners' families and the owners' kids, and they would sing, and it was just a time of happiness. Amen. Hey, God, aren't you glad that when God feeds his people, and that when God gives them what they need, it's a happy time. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Now we got to get to chapter number 3. I've been waiting. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? Praise God. That it may be well with thee. And now it is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Praise God. Amen. I want you to notice here. We got to go back to Ruth chapter number 1. Amen. Naomi has definitely turned a 180 degrees. She's opposite of where she was in chapter 1 and verse 9. She was telling these women to go back. Amen. Go back to your homes. Go back to where you come from. The Lord grant you that you may find rest. Amen. Each one of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Amen. This was the voice of a bitter Naomi. Naomi said, go back home. Go back to your people. Go back and get comfort somewhere else. But now look. Amen. Naomi said, her mother-in-law said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? Hey, God, what was Naomi saying? I'm about to feel like something. Naomi was saying, I'm looking out for you.
Yeah.
Hey, God. Hey, but Naomi was having care for her daughter-in-law. When she was out in the far country, she didn't care. But now that she's home in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, she cares. And Naomi tells Ruth, I'm going to seek rest. What does that mean? I'm going to see to it that you find a husband and you find a man that'll take good care of you. And she goes on to say, did you know, Ruth, Boaz is your kinsman? Hey, God, he's the next kin unto you.
Yeah.
Naomi knew the law. She knew the scripture. And she knew that if Ruth would be redeemed, it would have to come through the hands of Boaz. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Hey, God.
Oh,
hey, amen. And so Naomi tells Ruth, you need a husband, and Boaz needs a wife, and Boaz is your kinsman redeemer. Tonight he will winnow barley at the threshing floor. Great God,
What in the world does widow barley mean? Hey, I tell you what it meant. Amen. In those days, they had what was known as threshing floors. After the grain was harvested out in the fields, they would bring it into a threshing floor. Amen. A threshing floor was about 50 feet around. Sometimes it was large rocks. Solomon later built his temple on a threshing floor. Yeah. Hey God, amen. But if they couldn't find a large rock in which to beat the barley, amen, and to winnow the barley, they would take tamping rods and tamp the ground hard as a rock, amen, so they could go in and thresh the barley. Hey, amen. These stalks was laid out on the threshing floor, which, amen, and they would begin to beat, amen, the barley up on these threshing floors. Sometimes they would even get horses and cattle to trample upon this. And by doing this, it would knock the barley off the stalk. Amen. They would get the stalk off. But along with the barley and the wheat that was left, there was chaff. Amen. Great God in heaven. Amen. And so that's why they had the what they called winnow. Amen. The stalks were taken up. Amen. After it was beat. Amen. And the harvest was thrown into the air briskly. Oftentimes it was down by the sea where the wind would blow, or they had a winnow where they would fan. Amen. And notice this. All this has spiritual significance. Amen. The chaff was light, Brother Anthony, and the wind would blow the chaff away, but the wheat and the grain was heavy, and it would stick, and it would fall to the, amen, to the winnower's feet, to the harvester's feet, if you will. Hey, God in heaven, isn't that the way it is today? I've seen a lot of chaff mixed in with the wheat. Hey, God, but when God gets in the middle of things, and the wind blows, it blows the chaff on down the road. It blows the chaff away because, and the tares, amen, the tares were light. They would blow away. This had to be done because the chaff and the tares especially, amen, were bitter. And if they got kept behind and put in the bread that they would make, it gave a bitter taste and oftentimes would make one sick. So the chaff and the tares had to be separated from the wheat. Hey, I come to tell us, hey, that's the way it is. A tear looked a lot like the real grain, but it wasn't real. I've seen a lot of folks in my years serving God. They look right. They look real. But when it really come down to when the fan began to blow, they were blown away. Hey, I come to tell us, I want to be one that'll stand. Be one that'll be able to withstand the wind, amen, of this world.
Amen. Yes, sir.
This is the same effect that the tares still have on churches today. Tares are the people who may closely resemble the Christian, but they're not. They profess Christ, but really they don't have it in their heart.
Right.
Counterfeit Christians, amen, make the church sick and dizzy, much like tares do when it's left in the bread. Amen. You get a couple of tares in a church, and that's what they'll do. They'll tear a church up. Amen. Hey, God, you get those, amen, that's in the midst, and all they want to do is have their way and gripe and complain if everything ain't catered to them. I tell you, that's not the wheat. What does the wheat do? The wheat's always found at the feet of the master. Hey, God, I come to tell us, I want to be the real thing. That's why Paul said, I have kept, amen, my body, hey, under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I have preached to others that I might be a castaway. What he was saying, I want to be real. I don't want to be a tear, but I want to be true blue. I want to have the goods in this day.
I need Matthew 3:11 real quick. Matthew 3:11.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
11 and 12. Two verses there. Woo! Amen. Paul was saying here, amen, this word castaway meant to be disqualified. It reminds us of the word chaff. Amen. Paul did not want his life to be wasted like chaff, wasted like tares. Amen. As you look at your life, is it grain or is it chaff? Is it valuable or is it waste? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Amen. Oh, yes. Are you really serving Him? Are you serving the needs of yourself? Are you greedy? Amen. And all you care about is number one.
Yes, Lord.
I don't want to be the chaff. Tell us what Jesus said over there going to happen to the chaff.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
Water unto repentance.
But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear.
Yes.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now listen to verse 12.
And with fire.
And with fire.
Whose fan is in his hand.
Whose fan? Notice now. Amen. The Bible is written to the Hebrew because they knew their ways.
Yeah.
They knew what the threshing floor was. They knew what harvest time was. They knew what the feasts were. And they knew that the Lord of the harvest had a fan in his hand.
Yeah.
To fan the wheat from the chaff. He's going to come. He's going to baptize you with fire. He's coming with a fan in his hand.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
What is?
And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner.
Woo!
But he will
wait. Amen. Great God. He's going to thoroughly purge his floor. Once again, here's a picture of the threshing floor.
Yeah.
He's got all this grain 50 foot around. That's as big around as this church here, really.
Yeah.
He's got all of his grain. The cattle was caught, the wheat with the tares, and it's all mixed together. The stalks are thrown away. And now we got a bunch of wheat and a bunch of tares and chaff. And he said he's coming with his fan in his hand.
Yeah.
Great God. Woo. He's got to separate the chaff from the wheat. Amen.
Yes.
Woo! Finish that last part.
And gather his wheat into the garner.
Gather his wheat into the garner.
But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Oh, God.
Woo! But he's going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I don't know about you, but I want to be real wheat. I don't want to be make-believe.
Come on.
I don't want to be fake. I feel the Holy Ghost right
yes,
here.
Lord.
I'm telling somebody, great God, don't be fake. Don't be make-believe. Don't be made up. And the first little wind puff comes, it blows you away like the chaff where it's going to be burnt with unquenchable fire. But make your mind up. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be a child of God. I'm going to live right in the church. I'm going to live right out of the church. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. I'm going to serve God.
Praise you, Lord.
Woo!
Thank you, Jesus.
That's good.
I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't be make-believe. If there's anything, Brother Tommy, I'm like Paul, I'm afraid of. I don't want to be makeup. I don't want to be fake.